Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is Stacey Clark. Check out myspace.com/ILoveStaceyClark. We're going to start by listening to a track from her CD, Apples and Oranges. Then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Kiss you and wrap my hands around your body. When you're gone, I really, really miss you. Here we are, rocking slowly. Come close to me so I can reach you and
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Stacey Clark. Stacey, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for battling the traffic all the way from the OC to crazy Kill Radio land in Los Angeles. So we were just listening to a track from Apples and Oranges. Tell me real quick where people can get this. We get that out of the way.
Right now, they can get it either via through me on my MySpace site, or you can go to stacyclark.net, stacyclark.net, or on iTunes.
Cool. When did this come out? It's pretty recent, right?
November 20th. It's self-released, yeah.
Cool. So how much of this is sort of, you know, hi, my name is Stacey Clark, and I'm a girl with a guitar, and how much of this is sort of the project known as Stacey Clark?
You know, when I was first doing the album, I wanted to make sure that not only did it have some tunes that are really catchy and stuff, you know, that people can groove to and dance, you know, if they wanted to, but at the same time not lose any indie elements or folk elements. So it's definitely a mix of everything.
Is that what you started with, the sort of indie folk scene?
Yeah, very folk background, and then indie, and then, you know, where I am now. It's just kind of like electronica slash indie rock.
Yeah, there's this beautiful textured electronic vibe to your album. Did that sort of show up later for you and you sort of discovered how to do these things, or were you influenced by other artists?
Yeah, I mean, I've always actually wanted to go the electronic route. It's just I didn't know how to do it. You know, I didn't know how to produce it through Logic and Reason and everything that I like messed around with. It was not like great. So I grew up as a dancer. So the first thing I learned was like, if you hear a beat, you move. And that's so important, I think, because you know, folk is very beautiful and the lyrics are awesome, but sometimes, you know, you just don't get that same rhythm and soul that you would as if you mixed it with more electronica. So when I moved to California from New York 3 years ago, I met a producer, Ian Kirkpatrick, out of Zen 7. And yeah, we've been working together ever since. So it's a great little team.
It's interesting. A lot of times I've noticed it seems that female vocalists who want to use electronic in their music tend to lean more towards the trance side of things, sort of the sort of club, almost disco trance vibe. This is definitely more of an indie electronic vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, was that something that you put some thought into?
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm an independent artist, and I don't think from my background and my favorite influences in music, like, as much as I appreciate, you know, trance and all the different types, I just thought for my particular album, I wanted to be, like, easy listening for all types. Like, everyone from, like, a little kid to an adult could get it. So I felt like if it was too sophisticated, I might lose some listeners because, you know, I mean, there's some great records out there right now with, for example, like, the artist SIA, like Sia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love her music. And some people just don't get it, though, you know?
Seems a little inaccessible to them.
Yeah, I just felt like I'm just going to put out something that hopefully everybody gets. And then the next record, I won't guarantee that. But, yeah.
Well, let's jump into a live song if you're ready.
Yeah, actually.
What would you like to play for us first?
I actually want to do a new song for anyone who's listening who likes my music. I thought I'd, you know, do a little treat. So this is a new song called All Time Low.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Stacey Clark. All right, Stacey, whenever you're ready.
Okay. I will only break your heart, let you down, give you false hope when you're reaching out. I will watch you fall till you hit, you all time low. Oh, 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 oh. If you knew what was good for you, turn away from me. If you knew what was good for you, turn away and naturally, let no one close. I push everyone away. I keep it simple, just this world I made. If you knew what was good for you, turn away and leave. If you knew what was good for you, turn away from me. If you knew what was good for you. Oh.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Wow, great start to the show. That was beautiful. It's interesting. You have this is, you know, the Kill Radio studio is very DIY, and this show is known for, you know, stripped down, completely unpretentious acoustic, you know, no bells and whistles. And you have one of those voices that sounds produced even in this environment. Sounds very clean, very studio ready. Is that something that you, you know, developed over a long period of time, or did you just open up and sing one day and it just came out sounding right?
No, it's definitely been a work in progress. Like, I grew up singing, you know, since I was little. I kind of was obsessed with, you know, Madonna, Whitney Houston, all that good stuff. Would always run around and sing, and then in choirs, like, you know, in elementary school and musicals in high school. But then, you know, I was kind of the girl who tried out for a musical one year, didn't even make the choir, and then the next year got, like, a lead role. It was like, you know, I always have to go two steps backwards to get one forward. And my sister's always like, you really need voice lessons. And I'm like, thanks, you know. And then I just sing because I love it, and I never considered myself a singer. I'm more of a songwriter. But I guess over the years, again, when I moved to L.A., I was told that I need vocal lessons. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And luckily, I got to work with one of the best vocal coaches in L.A., Roger Love, who does, like, Kelly Clarkson, American Idols and stuff. And he really just, you know, it's easy to get insecure about whatever you're working on. And I was like, oh my God, am I like not singing right? Like, I think I am, you know, I learn in choir and stuff. And he's like, no, you just don't have enough air. And so all I did is learn how to breathe differently. But, yeah.
I guess there's the two kinds of,
so I've always have sung, and like, it sounded okay, you know, but like, it's definitely gotten a lot better, like, over the years, for sure.
I guess there's, like, the two kinds of vocalists where, you know, you say you really need lessons, meaning you really shouldn't be singing, as opposed to you really need lessons as in you have a talent, you just need some work on your technique.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I would recommend education or any kind of furthering, any kind of craft that you're involved with, because if you want to really stand out among people, I think you need to work with the best or be really talented. And since I'm not that talented, I have to work with the best.
Where did guitar come into this equation for you?
That was something that really did come easy. I'm very blessed. I was 15 and I was like, I saw Sarah McLachlan play and I was just like, that is what I want to do. And I knew I've always wanted to do it. I just didn't know how to go about it. And so I grew up in Buffalo and I lived down the street from this music shop, and I went there after I saved my money and bought a guitar. I got chord books. I taught myself. It's not, music was nothing that was like given to me. Like, you know, sometimes
you didn't grow up in like a musical household.
No, like my grandpa is in like was in a polka band and my mom is like an accordion prodigy, but like,
I can hear there's a lot of polka influence.
Yeah.
In
you know, it's like polka.
Polka. I like
but,
that.
Yeah, as far as my mom always just thought it was another hobby because she was a single mom, and I was involved with everything from like soccer to dancing to youth groups to anything to keep me on the right path. And then she was just like, you know, if you're going to do music, you have to give up something else. And I'm like, fine, I'll give up dancing. And that's when she like, okay. And then I just spend time and write my little songs and play little coffee houses. And I was fortunate enough to meet people who were very encouraging and very positive. Buffalo has a really great artistic environment and people were very nurturing. And I was 15 going to high school, working at Record Town as, you know, a greeter. And then I would play my shows 3 times a week in the
nice
coffee shops. Yeah. So I definitely learned quickly a lot about different things, but at the same time, I think I'm still learning. You know, LA is completely different.
Well, what was that like the first time for you going up there? It sounds like you started doing music in a very welcoming, supportive environment. Like the first time you got up there with your guitar, hi, I'm Stacey Clark. Was that nerve-wracking for you? Or did you feel
you
sort
know,
of comfortable in that?
Well, because like I grew up dancing, like I think that's probably the most nerve-wracking, to have a leotard on and like have to like bust a move to like music. You know, it's a great form of expression, but I never had like, you know, Pamela Anderson's body. So like, I think playing music is like so much better for me. And I kind of am like, I don't really care. Like, I'm going to sing, and if you don't like it, that's fine. Cause like, I don't like everything, but I think as long as people are, you know, either leave or not negative, then you know, but I've been really fortunate to meet people who have been positive and nurtured it. So,
and what's your experience been since you came to LA in terms of the different approach to the scene?
Oh, I just feel like It's completely different. I think a lot of people here, you know, it's like all or nothing, and they're very competitive, and it's not like as... There's certain communities, and now that I've been here a long time, you know, it's like I have different communities between, like, Long Beach, Orange County, and I'm just finally starting to meet some welcoming artists in L.A., which is kind of nice, because, you know, it's my third year. It'd be nice to keep growing that, but I just think it's more important, kind of like in the past, how artists started movements and they were all together, no matter if it was pop art or abstract, like whatever kind of art expressionism, all the people were together. And I think it's through community and, you know, creating relationships and things like that that's going to push music and the indie scene even more.
You're definitely seeing a lot more of that in the indie scene now with you're seeing these little collectives pop up of sort of bands that agree to support each other's music so that at the very least they know if they do a show that they'll have some of those other bands come and be their fans and you know, be there in the front row.
I just think it's, you know, it makes it so much better and not as like lonely, because music can get really just like a radio DJ, I'm sure.
yeah, definitely. Well, let's listen to another track from this CD and then we'll come back and do some more live stuff.
Okay.
What do you recommend?
Say What You Want.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Stacey Clark. Stick around. We'll be right back.
When following your heart from the start, oh, it's hard. I can't do this on my own. I need you to believe in me and these dreams. Everything is going.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Stacey Clark. And we're listening to some tracks from Apples and Oranges. And tell me, Stacey, about what you like to write about. Tell me about the genesis of a song for you lyrically. Are you telling stories? Are you talking about abstract things? What are some themes you come back to a lot?
I'm trying to do more abstract writing, but I generally write about anything directly related to me or something that's going on in the world or somebody I know. You know, it's most like that. Basically, I just write, you know, honest things that I think about, or the new song, you know, is more abstract. So I can really write about anything, you know.
How does the song usually start for you? Do you just sort of does it start with the music or start with the lyrics?
Both. I mean, it's just like...
It all comes to you at once?
I want
to
say, like, it's a disease. It's like, I'll be, like, in my car, and I'm like, oh, and I'll think of, like, oh my gosh, like, I have to write this down. And so I put, like, my little notepad and my pen, and I'm, like, driving in traffic and writing, and I'm, like, trying not to get an accident. Or sometimes, like, right before I go to bed, or I'll be, like, sleeping and wake up, I'm like... Like, for example, last night I had a dream that I wrote these, like, brilliant lyrics, and I'm like, oh, I can't forget them. And in my dream, I'm like, wake up, write them down. Like, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, it's like at all times the lyrics can come. When they come, you know. I can sit and, like, write on something, but I like it to be, like, honest, or if I'm thinking about something, so it's more meaningful and not just like, ooh, you know.
And then do you usually work through the whole song from there, or do you have a lot of unfinished songs as well?
No, I like to work. I'm a finisher. You know, I'm really anal about, like, finishing things. But as far as music, like, sometimes I write the music first, and then I'll think of the lyrics, or the lyrics will come first. And lately, because I'm doing a lot of driving, the lyrics have been coming first. But I love when I find, if I'm listening, for example, like, if I'm listening to, like, a record and something that's, like, really pretty, and then I can hear something completely different, you know, off that song, and then I'll have lyrics and then write a song, so.
So you get inspired by other music and...
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, everything from reading to... You can be inspired by, like, a movie, you know, and be like, I want to write about that, or the news, or just life, yeah.
Are you ready to jump into another live song?
Sure.
What are you going to play for us now?
I'll play Unusual.
Okay. My guest is Stacey Clark. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Whenever you're ready.
So unusual.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Stacey Clark. Stacey, what makes for a really good live show for you? Like, what? How do you base it?
A good band. Having a good band behind me.
Having good people play with you? Has that been sort of, is that what you're judging on, sort of like how the full sound comes out?
I'm like, well, I mean, I guess each show can be different. If it's an acoustic show, like I play acoustic a lot, I think I really appreciate acoustic music, and I think a lot of people do. And I think sometimes people want the full band, you know, and sometimes they want acoustic. So I really enjoy playing with my band, and I enjoy the fullness of it. I love, like, live bass and the whole full sound.
Hearing, yeah, what makes up a full acoustic, a full band for you?
I have a drummer, and then we played backing tracks, and I sing and play guitar. And then I have a bass player / keyboard player and a guitar player. So,
what about kinds of venues in terms of, do you prefer more intimate setting where you can get that connection with the audience, or do you like a big scene?
I like intimate settings. Like, I really enjoy playing Tangier and Hotel Cafe and, you know, those type of places. I think it's great because you can connect with the audience and then really get to meet them. You know, I like getting to know my fans and people who are interested in my music and just learning more about them.
What do you think people take away, like your fans, what do you think they take away from your music? Is it the lyrics or the sound? Or do you get a sense of what people are responding to?
I think people really appreciate the lyrics, and that's, you know, most rewarding for me. But I also think there are people who just love that bass and, you know, the movement of the music and the drums. And yeah, I think it all is contingent upon the person, because everybody likes something different, you know. But
do you like to play out live a lot?
Actually, I play live a lot. Like, we have an upcoming show in Hotel Cafe on Thursday. It sounds like there's like a riot outside.
I know. We broadcast from the median strip of a freeway, so.
No, it's awesome, though. It's like, it sounds like New York out there. But, yeah, so my next show's at the Hotel Cafe, and that'll be a full band, and that'll be cool. But I'll also, you know, do a song or two acoustic. It's fun. I like to mix it up. I like to try to make every show special, so if people come, they're like, oh, that was really cool. Or,
do you like the recording process as well? I mean, talk about apples and oranges.
I love the recording process. Like, apples and oranges stem from, I'm from New York, I live in California, and it's the iconology between the two. There's, like, you know, the whole differences and the similarities. So I thought it was a nice little play on words. Plus, you know, New York being the apple state and
right.
Living in Orange County.
Oh, wow. I didn't thought of that.
Yeah.
No, I frequently ask bands when they come in here if, you know, if they see themselves more as live performers or as recording artists, and which ones they like better. And the most common response to that is, well, it's really apples and oranges, because we get this.
Yeah.
You know, we get, you know, the connection with the audience, which is great. But then we also get to lay down the perfect track, which is a great feeling as well.
I love performing. Like, it's something that I've been working on for a long time, and, you know, I think I'm excited to see where the live performances are going to go and all the different venues and places that will continue to play. I'm excited about that. But at the same time, like, I love recording. I've always been really comfortable. Like, when I was younger, I interned in a studio, and I don't know, I just feel comfortable. As long as it's not like a showcase with like record execs, like, you know, then it's like awkward.
Right. And they're all sitting there hoping you fail.
Like, this is just awkward. Yeah. You know.
What makes, on that note, like, what makes for a bad show for you? Like, when you get off the stage and go, that was not
I think
good.
Because, you know, we do use backtracks. If the sound guy doesn't know how to mix it correctly, and if we're not hearing the mix, or I think that can definitely affect big time, you know. It's definitely a challenge to have those, but it makes it more ambient sound. So, but I think there's always going to be challenges, but I really consider the sound guy like a referee, and I think he can really make it or break it,
yeah.
You know? Because if you have a good sound system, then people are at least going to hear what you can do, you know?
Well, good, you're playing it like at Hotel Cafe. Like, they know
yeah.
what they're doing there, for sure.
I love the sound there. It's brilliant.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to another track from your album. What would you like to play?
Let's do Strange.
Cool. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We'll be right back with more Stacey Clark. Stick around.
I'm trying to drown out all of this noise, such a loud like I want this. Can you hear this? Like I hear it. Can you see this? Like I see it. Can you feel this? Like I feel.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Stacey Clark. And we were chatting a little bit while we were listening to that song about sort of the production side of things. Tell me about putting this album together. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of songs, but there's definitely a through line. One of the things that we've lost with modern technology and downloadable tracks is sort of the art of putting an album together. This seems to me to be a very complete, well-sequenced album. You can listen to it from beginning to end without, you know, each song sounding like the last one. Tell me about sort of the sequencing process for you.
Well, after we, you know, had all the songs recorded and all the different styles, then we just kind of listened to it and we're like, okay, how can we make this, you know, from beginning to end, like easy listening? And I just sat with my producer, because he's a genius, and, you know, really just talked to him about the direction of it. But we wanted it to be like, you know, start off with a bang. But sometimes some people that don't like electronic as much, they, you know, can just skip over the first one, because mm-hmm. it's more chopped up in the aspect of like Postal Service, Bird and the Bee, you know, things of that aspect. But I love it, you know, like I love, because I can listen to it and like block myself out, so it doesn't even like sound like me, you know.
Well, in the end, I mean, you're making music that you enjoy as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gotta
yeah.
be something you like. You can't just play for your
yeah,
fans.
Yeah, and that's something that I've been dealing with. Like, if I play acoustically, people are like, oh, well, I really, you know, like you acoustically and your album's great, but I just really like you. Do you have an acoustic album? I'm like, well, that's something I'm considering, you know, I'm working on.
Right.
Like, remember, people, the album comes first, then the acoustic album. Yeah, but I love how the production is, easy listening, and I've done enough recording to know that it's important that all the songs sound alike and they all have to stand out individually.
Yeah, and you have more than one thing to say, too. So, of course, not all the songs are sound like. A lot of bands only have one thing to say, and that's why their music sounds the same.
And I just think, like, artists like, for example, you know, the Beatles put out records that were very similar, you know, and that was their sound, and that's awesome. But I think with technology and things that are coming, like things like Radiohead, it's like, you know, or Bright Eyes, they put out folk record and then this electronic record. And mm-hmm. as an artist, they can really go any direction. And I think that's kind of what I want to do, too, because it's like you have so many different things to say, and you can start side projects, you know, like, for example, there was something corporate, and then Andrew McMahon started Jack's Mannequin because it was more piano driven, not as rock and roll for something corporate. And I feel like I'm definitely involved with a lot of like side projects and mm-hmm. other artists, because like I love collaborating. But at the same time, it's like, well, just because, you know, my name's Stacey Clark, I really can go any direction. So,
right.
I definitely like, you know, the indie, like folk, but I still like the ambient. So I think it's going to be a little, my next record will probably be a combination again, but probably a little more rock.
And has that been kind of a challenge for you? Do people kind of have preconceived notions or expectations of you as a female singer-songwriter that your music has to sound a certain way?
Well, I definitely think, you know, I think that the music cycle is that every couple of years, a singer-songwriter and females, you know, pop up again, and then they'll go down in popularity, and it's like a wave, like everything's cyclic. And I feel like Sarah McLachlan, Tori Amos, Liz Phair, Alanis Morissette, Jewel, all those artists were so popular in the 90s, and then we had a little period where it was more like, you know, more rock and roll, like, for example, Stained, you know, things like that. Now it was like James Blunt, The Fray. But then you have singer-songwriters popping up again, like Amy Winehouse, Lily Allen, and now Feist and Ryle Kiley and people doing, you know, really successful female things fronted, and the Hotel Cafe Tour boasts like a bunch of talent, female fronted, Rachel Yamagata, and I just feel like, I think that it's going to be more, I don't think people are going to be like, oh, you're, you know, too not folk or like ambient. I think it's going to be okay, like just however you want to express yourself, you're going to find your audience. There's enough people out there, you don't have to compromise your values. And if you do, then maybe you're not doing it for yourself anymore. And then you're going to start hating it and resenting it, you know?
No choreographed dancing. That's my advice.
I think no. No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Not maybe, you know, maybe like in life, but not necessarily for each song.
No.
Not for the video.
I actually, when I'm not playing my guitar, I feel quite naked. And like, but sometimes it's fun, you know, to really feel the song and sing it. Like Tina Turner or something. But yeah.
All right, let's do another live song. What are you going to play for us now?
Well, do you want to hear Empty Bottle or Peppermint Patty or Matter of Time?
I want to hear whatever you really want to play.
Okay, then I guess I'll play this one, Empty Bottles.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Stacey Clark, myspace.com/ILoveStaceyClark. And was it StaceyClark.net, you said? You're giggling because you got stuck with a goofy MySpace address. Is that it?
Yeah, I didn't anticipate MySpace to be as popular as it was. So I always feel like quite a dork when I'm like, hey, myspace.com. I love Stacey Clark.
Well, it's easy to remember, though.
Yeah. No E's in StaceyClark.
So you've been working on your music for, was it 13 years, you said?
Yeah, lucky 13.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah.
So having been so long, you've gone through, you've evolved quite a bit. Your voice has changed, your style of music has changed, the things that you like in music have changed. Are there any kind of lessons, you know, that you've picked up along the way of things that, you know, now that you're in this position where you have an album and you're gigging out a lot, things you want to make sure you don't regress back into, you know, don't want to do this anymore?
Well, I don't have any, you know, regrets as far as the path to where I had to go to get here, but I just think, you know, it's nice to be able to play shows and have people
there.
Have people there, you know, and it's not just the barista. And I think that just takes time to do. And, you know, sometimes there are going to be shows that might not be sold out, and that's okay. Like, you know, you just got to pay your dues, they say. And it doesn't matter, like, if I played for 2 people or 100 or 1,000. Like, I do it because I love it. And I think the most important part, and sometimes it's, you know, all the politics and things involved, it's easy to, you know, get really frustrated and sometimes feel like you might not be as accomplishing as much as you want to. And I think the thing I realized is just to set realistic goals and, you know, just do it because I really love to do it. And if things happen, great, you know, and if I continue to climb this little mountain, awesome. But as long as you do it for yourself, then no one can take that away.
Do you have a sense of where the peak of the mountain is? That how you know when Stacey Clark has arrived?
I don't think the peak ever ends. I mean, I think that there's so much I want to do as a person, a humanitarian, as well as an artist. Like, I really respect people like, for example, Martin Luther King, you know, Bono. I think Sting. There's a lot of people, even Angela Jolie. I think that's really admirable. George Clooney for his work with Zephyr. I think no matter if you have power to make, you know, some people are like, oh, they use their celebrity. Yeah, I'm like dyslexia. If you're a celebrity, they use it to, like, you know, do good causes. But I think you don't have to have that power to do good causes. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if I can keep, you know, doing what I'm doing with music and get more notoriety and just throw it back into that, that's amazing.
So sort of like if you can use your art to generate some energy, some power that you can then shift towards something else other than just the gratification of doing the music you enjoy.
Oh, right. Well, my manager and I, we started MusicSavesLives.org, and basically that helps raise the education about fighting cancer and getting tested, like your type of bone marrow and things like that. Because when I was younger, I was sick, and I just see these kids today and, you know, people who have cancer, and it just breaks my heart to know that there are things that we can fight, you know, and we just don't have enough blood, or people aren't, you know, getting tested for marrow because they might not be educated and think, like, mm-hmm. it's more scary than it is to donate, but they can in reality save someone's life. And so that's something that we are working on, and our program did go national, and we did raise over, what, something like 45,000 units of blood, and it's incredible. And we actually had bone marrow donations, and one was actually from a band member in this band called Halifax, and so he actually gave his bone marrow and saved someone's life over in England. And I just think little things like that, you know, raising awareness and getting involved, builds for a better place.
If you can get your fans to donate bone marrow, I think you've probably topped the entire indie music scene with
well, I don't know. Positive. I think music is great and I love it and it's awesome, but it's like life is too short to be like, you know,
just self-absorbed.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, it's awesome and I'm so excited, but my life is like beyond me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like you only could do whatever you can do and reach people however you can reach them. But I think if you can influence people to get involved, you know, and really make a difference, then I think that makes your life worthwhile.
Where can people get more info on Music Saves Lives?
MusicSavesLives.org. And we have the summer blood drives that will be coming up where they can get involved with that. So it's pretty awesome.
Cool. All right. You know what? Before we run out of time, I'd love to get one more live song out of you if you have it in you.
Yeah.
What would you like to play?
I'll do Peppermint Patties.
Okay.
I always laugh because the name of the song is just, you know, makes me want to
peppermint patties. It's very festive.
Yeah. Peppermint patties are making me sick. I know better, but I keep
can do.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Stacey Clark. Stacey, thanks so much for coming in tonight and playing for us. Remind us once again where people can go see you play live and where they can hear your music.
All my shows are listed. You can go to my website, stacyclark.net, or on myspace.com/ILOVESTACYCLARK. Or you can come if you're in the Los Angeles area. I'm playing Hotel Cafe January 31st, and that's located on Cahuenga. And tickets and information, again, is available on my website.
Awesome. Let's sign off with one more track from your CD. What do you recommend?
A Matter of Time.
All right. My guest has been Stacey Clark. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This episode will be available tomorrow from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood, and podcast on iTunes. So drop by there and check it all out. Thanks for listening.
Here we are, sitting in a room. All of my attention is on you. You can hear rain from above. I think I'm falling in love. It is just a matter of time before I'm gonna make you mine. When you smile, look my way, all the things I want to know.